Welcome to On the Brink Radio, broadcast number 199. That's just one shy of 200 episodes since December of 2012. We're very, very blessed to have again with us today Terry, Mr. Limpet Lilly, the brilliant underwater photographer, marine biologist, and activist on behalf of all of life in the ocean there in Kauai, Hawaii. Terry, how the heck are you, my brother?
Actually, I'm sitting in front of a fan right now. We have an abnormal heat going on here in Kauai, and it's really, really hot.
Well, I've got my shirt off here. I'm sitting indoors on Magnetic Island, Queensland. So tell us about the trumped-up red alert state level that Hawaii is on now, about the impending nuclear attack from North Korea, I'm guessing.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, I mean, we're old enough to remember back during the Cold War, you know, where we had to do drills in school, you know, for a nuclear bomb and get underneath our chairs.
You had to turn the desks.
I kind of thought that scare tactic was probably gone and buried forever, that, you know, the Earth had evolved a little bit more than that. But Donald Trump is, you know, openly boasting about, you know, a war with North Korea. Who knows, China, Russia, and Iran thrown in there at the same time. They're moving massive amounts of weaponry and anti-ballistic missile defenses on the warships and on the ground over to South Korea right now. And Trump is putting Hawaii on red alert as a potential to be bombed by North Korea, all the way to the point, get this one, Jeff, of opening up bomb shelters again in Honolulu and telling the people there that they need to be prepared for a nuclear attack. And it's on the news almost every day here in Hawaii.
For real?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, I kind of like sit there and look at the news in the morning and just go, is this real? I mean, it's unreal. So I was just a part of our congresswoman here, who's very negative on Donald Trump. Her name is Tulsi Gabbard, a wonderful congresswoman. She was going to be the vice presidential candidate if Bernie Sanders was elected. Anyway, I know her personally, and she just put on a big program here in Kauai and talked about all this stuff and how out of control Donald Trump is in so many ways, especially with the military.
Yes, well, it wouldn't actually be a war with North Korea because, as I understand it, their nuclear arsenal is about like comparing a matchstick to a truckload of dynamite.
I know, it's, Jeff, it's really sad, but it's really obvious, and I'll tell you what happened just today, because there's a new, you know, news on this every single day right now here in Hawaii, and, you know, pretty much everyone's following it. But anyway, all of the analysis that I know through, you know, the military family that I've been involved with, and I know a lot of, you know, senators and congresspeople and, you know, radio talk show hosts and, you know, scientists and everybody across the board, you know, seem here in Hawaii is fully believing that all Trump is doing is he wants to keep the military base here in Hawaii, and he wants to fund Raytheon and the other military-industrial complex to utilize Hawaii for the training and advancement of new war weaponry. And so in order to keep that stranglehold on Hawaii, he's got to make a bad guy, and he's got to scare everyone, you know, that North Korea is going to be bombing Hawaii. But in the same breath, even his own generals are saying that ain't going to happen.
Of course not. But isn't this the age-old story that war is actually, and the whole military thing, all it's really about is business, making money, selling all these technologies and stuff. And did you see the article I posted last week with my posting about what the true meaning of nuclear war actually is? It was an interesting article by a guy who wrote extensively about Fukushima, and he never cited his sources of information, but I wanted to run it by you. He said he reckoned that the U.S. was sending a lot of its older aircraft carriers and destroyers and vessels and stuff to the Sea of China, South China Sea, so that they could unfold a sort of false flag thing, kind of like Pearl Harbor was, where all these boats would be sitting ducks and they would be destroyed if North Korea didn't launch against them, which he reckoned they wouldn't do because they didn't want to just be instantly annihilated. Then there was also a Japanese military entourage out there who could fire on and sink the U.S. vessels. But who would know? Who would actually know what happened? And then they could declare war on Korea. They could go like, oh, look, you know, now we have to amp up all the military stuff. Look, we told you so. And, by the way, we're going to need all this new, fresh taxpayer money to get all these brand new aircraft carriers and stuff, and with brand new Raytheon undersea electronics.
Well, you know, Jeff, it's really hard at this point in time, I think, to analyze as a private citizen on what the U.S. military is doing. But I do know a lot of folks in Korea. Matter of fact, I work with a gal that's doing a documentary movie, very well known, you know, that Kuhan Hyuk, that I introduced you to. And she's part South Korean. And she just came back from over there. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are analyzing what is going on in North Korea and South Korea, and every single one of them that I know of, everyone across the board, says that that's a false front. That the real issue is the usage of oil in the world and how that's related to the dollar, the U.S. dollar, and the World Bank, and how places like China and Russia don't want to have oil converted to dollars anymore.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
Converted into gold.
That makes perfect sense.
So it's a power struggle, once again, for oil dollars and how that's all being controlled. And the U.S. having this big military build up over in that neck of the woods is going, it's a much bigger picture than North Korea. So, I mean, this is a worldwide business deal to capture dollars is the bottom line.
Yes. Well, do you know what country has vastly more hydrocarbons than any other country?
Probably India. I'm not sure.
No. Russia.
Russia, yeah.
Absolutely. And did you also know that their scientists...
Oh, you mean more hydrocarbons to be... Put it this way. The head of the EPA, the head of the State Department that Trump picked, by the way, was the ex-CEO of ExxonMobil.
Yes.
And that's the very guy that went to Russia to try to negotiate the largest oil drilling contract that's ever happened on Earth.
Yes.
Well, and now he's Trump's, you know, head of the State Department.
Yes. Well, look, check this out. Did you know that early in the 20th century, if not even earlier, Russian scientists already knew that hydrocarbons, or what we call petroleum, it's not a fossil fuel. That's a hoax. It's not a fossil fuel. It's abiogenic, meaning hydrocarbons are actually created by geochemical processes deep down in the Earth's mantle. That's why they can find it at depths of many, many, many kilometers where no decaying animal or vegetable matter could ever have existed. And they've even had oil reservoirs that were depleted to refill in Russia. William Ingdahl wrote extensively about this in one of his books. So that it's like a nightmare for the world, because it means that really we'll never run out. But see, the oil companies don't want people to know this. They want to make it sound like it's a scarce commodity.
Well, the one fact about it, Jeff, and it's again for me being a biologist and trying to figure out things that are going on underwater with the coral reef, so I spend most of my time doing a direct correlation to military activities and what's happening here in Kauai. But in the Hawaiian Islands here is kind of a unique place where we are going to be energy independent very soon down the road. On the island of Kauai here, that there are all kinds of technologies and campaigns to produce energy and not import any oil anymore at all. So as a scientist, looking at all of the technologies that are available to be energy independent and a way off of burning fossil fuels, all of that technology is there. But that at this point in time upsets the balance of power and money on planet Earth because it's all backed by petroleum dollars. So, you know, this is a worldwide, very dangerous game that's happening right now. And you know, it's going to be interesting to see how it's all going to play out. I guess about all I can say about it.
Yes. So tell us about exactly what's happening there in Hawaii and Kauai now. With you say there's a massive military buildup. Are there, does there seem to be more warships and submarines and helicopters and stuff there? And you said there were... Go ahead.
Yeah, it's really ironic, Jeff. I mean, it's really kind of ironic on what's happened here in Kauai. The bottom line is that starting in 2012... Yes, there is a massive military buildup here in Kauai. You know, we just had 20 of the Osprey helicopters flown over. Raytheon's here in the huge numbers right now. Flyovers with the F-22 Raptors are going on right and left. The beautiful island of Niihau is a military base right now where they're practicing everything from high-speed underwater torpedoes that have killed, you know, a number of whales that have surfaced out at Niihau. And so they're using Kauai in this massive buildup. At the same time, we showed almost pretty much proven at this point in time that the underwater electronics that they're using close to shore here is what was killing the coral reefs. Now, what we did do, because of exposing that to so many people worldwide, we did get the military to claim that they're going to do all of their testing and their buildup 50 miles offshore, so out at sea. Now, they said they were going to start that in 2016. Well, sure enough, we have not seen a military ship or any activity close to shore, and the entire North Shore of Kauai near the military base, the missile base, that died is now coming back to life in a phenomenal way. The amount of coral growth is pretty much blowing everybody away, especially it's across the board on all the reefs and how fast the corals are growing back. So it's kind of ironic that Trump is leading to this massive military buildup in Hawaii, but it appears to be happening offshore, and our local ecosystem is doing much better because of it.
Yes, and it's, we owe you so much for your beautiful work documenting that, because you're also proving that the whole, the basic agenda of what people call climate change is not what people think it is.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I'm doing it right now, and I'm almost done, and I'll have all the movies to you as soon as we get them finished, but it turns out, Jeff, I'm the only, this is according to the military, according to the Congress people, and according to National Geographic, all of them combined, and the University of Hawaii, and USGS, and NOAA. All of them have made open statements that I'm the only person that inadvertently, because I didn't do this purposely, I'm the only person that has a documented 30-mile stretch of coastline and coral reefs, shot all over up and down the coast in high-def video, starting in 2006 when they were, all the reefs were very, very healthy. Then all of these same dive areas up and down the coastline, I got video of the reefs dying starting in 2012, and then now I got video of these reefs all coming back to life in 2016. So and this is all being produced into a very professional movie that I'm doing right now. I don't know what the name is going to be, but I call it Before Navy, During Navy, and After Navy.
Yes.
But the bottom line is I have all the proof, and it's in the hands of a lot of people right now, so the military can't make a move on trying to, you know, eliminate the proof. And it's going to be a shocker to the world, because this is going to show an actual documentary of an entire reef system dying, and it has no timeline with coral bleaching, acidification, or sea temperature rise at all. And while this was all happening in other parts of Hawaii, the reefs were doing fine. And in other parts of the world, the reefs are doing fine. And when scientists in Australia get to see this footage, I think they're very clearly going to sit there and say, wow, that looks just like what happened to the Great Barrier Reef. Voila!
Exactly. And it makes me wonder, in the same way, remember when we did the three-way interview with Stuart Simonson, I brought out this quote from Admiral William Nirenberg, that used to be the director of the Scripps Institute in NATO, about the way that the Navy looks at organisms that live in the sea. They see them as biological interference, things that cast sonar blips that would get in the, that would impede effective war fighting. And I was wondering if, in the same way, their actual attitude towards the Great Barrier Reef is that it is in fact a barrier. It's a barrier to shipping and to marine submarine and war vessel movement. And so the quicker it's dead and just crumbles out of the way, the better. Could that be how they're thinking of it?
You know what I've noticed, Jeff, what I've noticed, and I can only speak for military here in Hawaii, because you know I've never dealt and met with the military folks in Australia, and I have read some very disturbing reports about it. But the bottom line is the military, the Congress people, the politicians, the business people, Raytheon, the military industrial complex, McDonnell Douglas, all of these folks, from the Air Force to the Navy to the politicians that fund them, I have had the ability to talk now with all of these people over the past 3 years, because you know I've had over 10 million people see my research about the military killing the reefs here. So these folks all opened up with me, and I've had meetings with every one of them, including just the other day. And the one thing that's ultimately clear, none of them ever did their homework, and none of them had any idea what was happening out there to the environment underwater. They weren't trying to get rid of whales. They didn't even have people in the water seeing that they were dying. They had nobody here in the water. They testified to this, by the way. The Navy did. They had nobody in the last 5 years underwater documenting the coral reefs, turtles, sharks, monk seals, and marine life. Nobody during this time of, you know, where they in made this intense underwater electronic war games, similar to what they're doing off the Great Barrier Reef. So it's just pure ignorance, Jeff. It is. That's the bottom line. And I had my conspiracy theories at first, you know, too. But I have firsthand experience, and I can testify in a court of law that the military and the politicians were caught with their pants down, and they didn't know that they were screwing up the ecosystem. And now that they know, what are they going to do? Well, they did the right thing by moving way offshore, just like what they should do in the Great Barrier Reef areas. Get all that stuff off being operated 50 miles or more offshore. Give the reef a chance here. And maybe it'll grow back like it did here and is doing here in Kauai. So, you know, their intentions are always hard to know, but I'm positive no one had negative intentions here to try to kill the coral reefs in Hawaii. And I've talked to the very top military brass and company officials on that. They just didn't know what they were doing.
But that may be true, but it doesn't matter to how Mother Earth is looking at what our species is doing.
I agree. But that's why right now, Jeff, there's no excuse. There is no excuse for scientists, the government, the Royal Australian Navy, and everybody else, James Cook University. There is no excuse for these folks in Australia for not getting out there with underwater electronic monitoring equipment, and they could test and know if the military activities off the Great Barrier Reef are helping to destroy the coral reef there, because this information now is available. We know it happens, we've shown that it happens, and we have 30 miles of a regrowth of coral reef here when the military cooperated and moved offshore. So there is no excuse. You know, I hear reports about scientists, you know, in Australia saying 20 million years of evolution all dying. We're, you know, it's a horrible thing. The Great Barrier Reef is dying. Well, it's not that horrible if you don't want to get out there and do the proper testing to figure out why it's dying. Just blaming it on the boogeyman or warm sea temperatures isn't going to fly because there is no data showing that.
No, well, it's likely that many, if not most, of these scientists are, and this is not conspiracy theory, they're actually being paid to lie.
I agree with you. I agree with you, Jeff, 100%. They work for the federal government, that's bottom line. And I already know this. I'm not going to mention any names because...
But I don't mind if you do.
...someone in trouble or hurt. But there are a group of scientists in Hawaii that are highly committed to figuring out what was killing the corals here. And when we got close to figuring out it was the military, they all were forced to take an early retirement, and I haven't heard from them since. So the bottom line is I hate to say, and it's got to change, Jeff, it has to change.
It will.
That universities are often funded by big companies and funded by the U.S. military.
Well, exclusively.
If you go out there right now, if you go out in the ocean, and there's an underwater coral reef survey going on, I'd say probably 99% of that you can track the dollars back to corporate America or the military paying for that work so they can control the data.
Absolutely.
And if people don't lie, then they have to take an early retirement.
Well, they specify, the grant application includes the conclusion that they want to be found.
I know it. That's why, Jeff, I've done all of my work as an independent citizen, and I'll just tell you one thing, and I'm not, like, tooting my own horn, okay?
But you may. Toot, toot!
This is, this is just a fact, okay? I do all this stuff just because I like to go in the water and shoot video and take kids out, catch a fish and surf and dive. You know, that's my main focus is because I'm just trying to save it for my own selfish reasons because I see the interconnectivity with the coral reef and the rest of life on planet Earth. Now, the bottom line is, though, that every single one of these people that I have worked with, every single one, okay, all got paid by the government. And I figured this out. In the last 3 years, I spent $182,000 of my own money. I had a zoo, I sold it. It was a zoo, not on display, for captive breeding endangered species to be released back into the wild, so good zoo. But anyway, I sold the zoo, had $180,000. I spent 5 years spending my own money until I ran out of dollars studying why the reefs were dying here in Hawaii. Now, that's $180,000 figured out the problem. At the same time, all of these government scientific researchers spent tens of millions of dollars, more like $20 million, and they're still sitting there saying, we don't know why the reefs died.
Well,
now, that's a fact.
I'm sure. This is just another one of the myriad examples of the whole demented mental operating environment that humanity is operating on right now.
It is, Jeff.
I know.
It's just, Jeff, you know what the biggest thing, the biggest pushback on my research, and like I said, I've got a Nat Geo show on this right now. I've got a show in Brazil, online movies. It's been in, over 300 media outlets. And we figured out through online viewership, there's well over 10 million people that have viewed the Kauai coral disease, you know, that I got out there over the last 3 years. Now, in all of those people around the world that have watched this info and complained and called their congresspeople and senators, have all the letters that have been written to the military, of all the talks that I've given to University of Hawaii, to all the other institutions, you know, the only thing that's come back to me on in a debate on that, I mean, Jeff, you're going to laugh. Not one person has debated my findings here. The only thing that they say is, Mr. Lilly does not have a PhD, so he's not qualified to do that kind of study.
Well, but that's a compliment, because that, to any thinking person, that means that your brain has not been constricted and atrophied by adherence to academic protocol.
Right. We have to take science and have that come back into the private sector, and being done openly through a lot of independent scientific folks, you know. That's the checks and balance system that we have on Earth. We got to stop paying attention to these people that are out there saying all the coral reefs problems are because of climate change, and they're all getting paid by the government and fossil fuel money. I mean, it's bizarre what these scientists are putting out there with a complete lack of facts. Now, granted, okay, I mean, I agree with every one of the scientists. We're burning way too much fossil fuel, and we can't keep going down this road. It's stupid, okay? That's going to harm the environment, and it's a dumb thing to do. But to take that knowledge, okay, and say the oceans have warmed a couple degrees, and it's killing all of our reefs, that's an absolute bona fide mistruth. If you go, and Australia is going to be one of the greatest places, by the way, Jeff, because if you go north out of Australia, up into Micronesia, you know, and go up into places like Solomon Islands and Yap, and then over to Indonesia, Timor, and up to Bali, and then up more towards Sumatra, and then keep going north to the South China Sea and Southern Philippines, well, you're going to find that all of those waters, they're relatively shallow, by the way, and we think that's probably why the military doesn't operate there. But those waters were just as warm as the Great Barrier Reef, just as warm as here in Hawaii, and guess what? No coral bleaching in that area, and the reefs have been doing very, very good. We're going back to Wakatobi in Indonesia in October to redocument how much the reefs have grown during global climate change. So this just doesn't pan out, and these people are not being honest with the public.
No. Well, there's an interview I did a couple of days ago with an interesting woman named Ilana Freeland, and I believe that I sent you a PDF of her book. It's called Chemtrails, Harp, and Full Spectrum Dominance. Well, in it, she talks about...
Yes, yeah, I know. I've never read that. Yeah.
Well, I just did an interview with her, which you should listen to, man, because it sort of it ties in. She doesn't talk... She hasn't learned anything about undersea stuff. That's where you and I are filling in the picture. But she has created a pretty good overview of what's really going on with the global military agenda and what full spectrum dominance includes, and a lot of it is and it ties in with the HARP and microwave stuff there in Kauai, that to change the composition of the troposphere with all the chemtrails to make it more conductive for microwave transmissions to use in their weather modification and tectonic warfare. And also, she's bringing in a transhuman agenda thing to where that they're actually working on engineering what people are through all these different substances and nanoparticles and stuff like that. And I think that there would be elements of truth to all this, but it's...
Oh, gosh, Jeff, there's more than elements of truth. I posted them up on my Facebook page, and so they're still probably there. But NASA released images of planet Earth. This was a few months back. And they're, you know, I mean, huge pictures of, you know, entire continents. And what they did is they simply, you know, with their technology, they highlighted the formation of cloud cover. And every area where the microwave HARP transmissions are being sent into the atmosphere for cloud and weather manipulation, you can clearly see that from space.
Yes.
You know, it's so clear, it's unreal. And it also happens to be the areas of the most amount of radical weather we've been having on the planet. So when you're out in space from the space shuttle and these satellites, and you look back down, you're looking at clouds over all the Hawaiian Islands, or clouds over all of California and the Midwest, and, you know, you can see all the cloud formations, and they're beautiful, and they're puffy, and they're circulating, and there's jet streams, and there's a pattern to it all. And then you see this area of these cloud waves going out that are absolutely 100% unnatural, and they pinpoint to all of the known HARP weather manipulation areas, and you can see the whole thing vivid from space.
Yes.
I mean, as vivid as can be. It's kind of like, I mean, I showed him, I have a girls and boys club, you know, and a couple of these, you know, school grade classes that I teach at. You know, I show the kids these pictures and they can figure it out. They go, wow, that looks just like radio waves, you know, where someone, clouds. I mean, look at the design on that, you know, that's pretty cool looking. It doesn't look like anything normal on planet Earth. Wow. So the kids can even figure this one out, you know. Our governments are manipulating the weather, and that's what's causing a lion's share of our radical weather problems we're having on the planet.
Absolutely. And, well, I've been saying this for years, and Alana says it too, that the whole climate change agenda, it started out as global warming. All it is a smokescreen for these military operations.
I think that's completely provable right now. We don't even need to debate it. Michael Murphy,
yes,
with his famous movie, What in the World Are They Spraying?
Yes.
And so Michael Murphy is a good friend of mine, and he's coming out with his third weather, geoengineering, cloud manipulation movie that he's going to be done with it here, I think in a month or so. We're going to premiere it here in Hawaii, by the way. And so as soon as, I haven't seen it yet, so as soon as we get that movie, I think he's going to, you know, nail it to where people that watch are simply going to not have any doubt anymore about climate manipulation and what's going on. And Bill Gates, you know, he spent billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars on this.
Yes.
You know, and I was told that, you know, I can't say that this is true for sure, Jeff, but I got the information from some pretty powerful folks that have been studying this for a long time. That the original intent were the Clintons and the Gates Foundation and stuff, you know, going back a number of years, they really amped up the HARP program to try to figure out how to reverse some of the ozone layer problems in the North and South Pole. And it went out of whack and went squirrely and made everything worse. So they've kind of set into action an abnormal chain of weather patterning on the planet. So it would be fascinating to see how this stuff originally got put out there. We know the military's used it forever as for weaponry.
Yes.
And they've been very clear about that. And they're using it now even more than they have in the past. And I can, by the way, and I can also tell you why the North Korean missile blew up on the right above the launch pad the other day.
Because of a microwave.
That was made very clear here in Hawaii.
A directed energy weapon.
But anyway, you know, so these things are just facts. And as soon as people, you know, start realizing it, then we can give it, you know, a little more powerful place to make some changes here. But the public's got to pay attention to these movies, pay attention to these books, pay attention to all the information about, you know, geoengineering and cloud manipulation and how they're using that for the purpose of warfare, because the military is really pretty darn open about all this stuff these days, Jeff. This is not secret information anymore. And they got to stop listening to this blanket, drink the Kool-Aid, that burning fossil fuels is the only cause for climate change. Because it's not. It's one of the problems with climate change, but it's not the only cause, and it's not what's killing our coral reefs.
Well, if you actually research into a lot of older scientific knowledge or trying to understand climate changes of the past, no one ever brings in the greenhouse effect as more than just a peripheral, relatively minor aspect of what's caused the real climate change on this planet compared to much more larger scale things, a lot of which originate that are of extraterrestrial origin, whether it's the sun or other bodies passing through gravitational, electromagnetic, and radioactive influences and bombardments and stuff like that. But you know, so this whole thing, it's like what they've actually tried to do is demonize carbon. Carbon is the most central element for life as we know it. And you know, for people to think, you even see the expression carbon pollution. That's a complete oxymoron. But what we're talking about is the scientific ignorance of the public. You know, we need basic scientific education, but I just, you know, I've said this so many times before, but to me, the scale that all this stuff is happening on planet-wide and the damage that we're doing, the damage we know about, but worse, the damage we don't even know about because of the scale of all the military and industrial stuff, and so much of it's invisible, it seems to me, I don't know that we can turn it around. I don't know that we could possibly correct or heal the damage that we're continuing to do. It seems to me that a catastrophic discontinuity that's going to take out civilization is the only true hope for the healing of Koyaanisqatsi.
Well, I think, Jeff, and again, sometimes it's hard for me to spend time on the larger picture like that because I tend to be kind of solution-oriented, so I like saving the coral reefs here and getting the military offshore. So I tend to like to focus on things that I can see an outcome within a given period of time.
Yes.
And so whether or not humans are going to exist on this planet for very much longer is highly debatable.
Absolutely.
There's way too many humans on the planet right now.
Well, too many stupid ones.
Holding capacity already, so that's hard to say, but the bottom line is that there is a lot of things that we can do to make things better, and the government, once again, and the military, and the big businesses, they tend to try to confuse the public. And the more they keep the public confused, and the more they can do whatever it is they want to do. This just came out in the paper yesterday here in Hawaii, and the USGS, U.S. Geological Service, did this long-term underwater study of our deep water reefs offshore and up Hawaii here. And the deep water reefs that are way too deep to be affected by, you know, climate change, you know, up above, lost about 3 feet of the depth of the reefs over the last 20 years. The deep water reefs are starting to collapse and shrink. Now that's throwing a very, and this is across the board here, that's showing a variable that no one's even looked at because that kind of data hasn't even been accessible until recently. And so we got a scenario around the Hawaiian Islands where the deep water reefs have shrunk a year. So that means that something out there is causing that to happen, and the amount of variables that you need to figure that out is pretty vast. So
yes.
It's the time right now on the planet, if humans are going to exist, they have to increase science, they have to increase their knowledge of what's going on the planet, so we can make good decisions on how to exist in the future.
Well, if we can just...
What's happening in the United States? We have a bunch of idiots in control that are wanting to cut out all of the science, cut out all of the testing, cut out all of the studies. You know, it's a no-win situation. It's not sustainable.
Exactly.
And believe me, it's going to fall apart.
Well, it already is.
It's going to fall apart here pretty quick in the United States of America.
Yes. I think that, you know, it's like the powers that be have almost successfully eradicated any mention or awareness of the global nuclear scenario from the public radar, but you've got a massive amount of synthetic radionuclides still being plied into the Pacific Ocean from Fukushima. And for people to think that that's not having any effect on the life in the Pacific Ocean, that's kind of very unscientific as well. You know, so there's so many different dimensions that we need to keep track of, and that I sort of try to piece all this information together into a bigger picture, but that's why my attitude has become more and more cynical, because the bigger the picture that I create, the more of the damage I see. And it's like the whole military people have been brainwashed their whole lives to not question anything about the military, because if you said, what's their purpose? Oh, well, they're defending us against the evil enemy. But they, to them, we are the enemy. We're the enemy. Life.
You're totally right, Jeff. You're totally right about that. You're totally right about it. But all I can say is I'm only one person. When I started saying that the military was killing our coral reefs here in Hawaii, there wasn't even one person on this island that was willing to talk to me about that because they were fearful of the military. And so I took it on my own, and I went out and I ended up doing the research and taking it directly to the top brass in the military and got them to make a major change. So the bottom line is that we gotta start getting away from this place of fear and into the place of being logical and loving and scientific and communicative, and humans have gotta step up to the plate and get off being a couch potato and start doing something here.
Yes.
You know, that's kind of the bottom line.
If you look at how many people...
We can do whatever we want, whatever we set our minds to. We can reverse the military situations on the planet. There's enough DNA, the Earth spins around, there's enough life on this planet to heal. And we're seeing it with the coral reefs right now here. They're coming back at a rate that none of us thought was even capable of happening in our lifetime and even our kids' lifetimes. So the bottom line is we can make a difference, we can do it, and we literally have to become immune to the scare tactics that our politicians are trying to use on the people. That's the biggest problem, because it dampers the human spirit, it dampers the children, it dampers the new upgrowing kids who want to be scientists and astronauts and computer scientists and marine biologists and stuff. It dampers all of their spirits and their thoughts, and we have to do the opposite. So all I can say is we have a success here, Jeff. We did something. We got the military. We fought the military, so to speak, and we won. And we won because they cooperated with us. We didn't have to start shooting at each other. So this can be done, and there is a way to do it. But humans have got to start taking back their own personal power. And I really believe, Jeff, that's why the Indigenous Cultures Movement right now and the Water is Life Movement right now worldwide is expanding so quickly. Because it's people that live off the land, on the land, and love the land and the sea are taking back their rights to protect it. And it's a huge movement, and it's a powerful movement, and I think it's going to spread like mad. So I'm actually the opposite of being cynical. I see a lot of really good things happening, and the opportunity for the average everyday person like you and I to bring harmony back to where we live on planet Earth.
Well, that's a very good, uplifting perspective to hear. But what do you reckon the whales and dolphins think about all this?
You know what? The whales and the dolphin, it's not reckoning. I have direct knowledge with that, 100%. What they're trying to do is they're trying to teach people back to getting in connection with the Earth and the living system and how to connect with universal knowledge. And that's how they communicate between all of themselves, between their environment, and between, you know, other Earths and other galaxies. So they're here with their flippers extended to bring back as many humans as possible to their realm, to interconnect with them, and to understand what a powerful source that is and how love runs the universe. Through all religions, through all vibrational energies, the vibrational energy of love heals everything and anything. And they're here as our guiders and our teachers right now.
Yes, I fully agree. But I think they're also, they're inspiring you and me to do what we're doing because of our...
Absolutely.
But the sort of knowledge is power kind of thing. But let me ask you this. Have you heard of this new... thing that they're talking about called the space fence?
Oh, space fence?
Well, that's Alana Freeland's next book that's coming out. It's this giant project to supposedly they're working on creating, they're going to spray so much stuff into the atmosphere that they're going to create kind of, it'll be like a ring of Saturn around the Earth at the equator, that'll be sort of an antenna for broadcasting all the radio and microwave emanations as part of a global surveillance and control grid.
You know, Jeff, there's so many crazy things going on right now. But you know, when you just got done describing that, what came to me number one?
A science fiction movie?
Especially in the United States, okay? Because it's hard to follow what other countries do and know what's real and not real. But in the United States, there's no question about it, the Trump administration and the Republicans and stuff are wanting the average person to become very poor and 99% of the money to be in control of only a few people. And when that happens, then those few people have a lot of power to do very stupid things.
Yes.
So these programs I just got done talking about are programs that are going to cost $1 trillion, you know, they're going to cost a lot of money. Now, if we start taking back the power of the individual person and get it away from the money-hungry folks, these politicians, the big government folks, and the big business folks, and that money is spread much more equally throughout society, then these kinds of out-of-control type ideas never get launched because no one ever has the money to do it. There's way too much money in the hands of very few people right now in the world. And I'm telling you, everything just went a reverse in the United States because Trump's running around the world right now using weaponry in the U.S. military to do business deals so he and his buddies can control a lion's share of the wealth on the planet. It's obvious. It's so easy to see. And that's exactly the opposite of what the planet needs. Because when they make a mistake, they make a really, really big mistake. You know, when the average person makes a mistake and loses $100,000, well, it probably doesn't do any great damage to the planet. We can't trust having just a few people on this planet in control of all the finances. We can't do that. We just can't accept that and allow that to happen.
Well, I think the whole financial system is a hoax anyway.
Well, yeah, because it's all made up.
Of course it is. Indigenous people didn't use money. The whales and dolphins don't use money. It's like this, to me, the whole capitalism is like the one true world religion that everybody that does everything by the dollar worships this false god. It doesn't matter what country they're from, you know, and the international banking cartel are the sort of the overlords of the financial system.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's all true, Jeff, but the bottom line is, I keep kind of trying to bring it back here, is that we've got like 9 billion people or something on this planet, or 6 billion, I don't know what it is now, but it's a massive amount of people on this planet. If everybody out there, my dad used to preach this all the time, and it's every part of my life, if everybody out there would do and give back a little bit more to nature than they take, we would reverse all of these problems on this planet very quickly. It's about each individual person's ability, okay, to reconnect with the planet right now. However they want to do that. Every person, Jeff, could all of a sudden drive 5 miles less a day. Every person could go out there and pick up 10 pounds of plastic garbage in their area and dispose of it properly. Every single person could go out there and take a class or even do an online class to learn something about nature. You know, there's a million and one ways that everybody out there can simply give back a little bit to this planet that they live on. And that would make such a massive amount of effect. It's unreal. So all too often people, Jeff, they sit back and they go, I don't know what to do. You know, this is confusing. I don't understand all of this stuff. How can I fight big business or big America? or the American military. How can I fight that? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And that's what I see happening at this point in time. That's the good positive part. Here in Kauai, when I first moved here full-time about 8 years ago, there was organized maybe a couple hundred people on the island that were working in environmental issues in some kind of organized fashion. Right now, 8 years later, there's like 15, 20,000 people on Kauai and dozens of groups that are organizing environmental issues here in Kauai, from sustainable food, sustainable energy, cleaning up the environment to, you know, taking fishing nets off the reef. I mean, you know, to having your own home garden. So I'm actually seeing a massive amount of people taking back the actual hands-on care and concern of their local environment here in Kauai. And it has made a huge difference, Jeff. I mean, it's unreal how neat it is. And these folks aren't listening to Donald Trump or the corporate America. Matter of fact, they stick their finger up at all those characters.
Yes.
But they're taking control back into their own hands.
Well, that's really good.
That's what I see people being able to do here, and that's what I see the need. We got to take the power back, but we got to do it individually.
Yes. Is it still true that the military base there is the single largest employer on your island?
Yeah, it's the largest employer on the island, you know, which is ridiculous. None of the money, by the way, goes back into Kauai. And then here, Donald Trump just announced today with Admiral Harris, the chief of staff, he's the guy that I've actually been working with, that they now want to increase the missile and anti-missile and radar capability of the military base here in Kauai. So here after we've now been successfully showing them why they're, you know, harming the environment, and we got some positive done, now they're saying today that they want to increase activities here. So
absolutely. Well, look, let me go back to something that you and I and Stuart were talking about. Do you have, or could you manifest access to instrumentation that would allow you to measure ambient microwave radiation there?
Yeah, Jeff. That's the whole picture there. Okay, that's the whole picture. That I have the ability to, and so do millions of other people, utilize money to prove what's going on and cause a major change on this planet to protect the environment. The problem has been, just like what happened yesterday, is that the money is being tightly controlled by the people that are ruining the environment. And I'll give you an exact example. I had in my budget $45,000 for underwater electronic monitoring equipment in two grants that totaled $450,000. We wrote up those grants, and those grants were supposed to be funded. They were scientific and education to my nonprofit group that I work with in May of this year, last month. Well, Donald Trump put a hold on all of those grants by freezing the EPA and NOAA and the federal scientific grants. So yes, all of this stuff is easy to prove. But the problem is that the financial folks know it, and they try to get a stranglehold on any funds going into those projects. So that's currently where we're faced with right now. So we got to go about proving these things in an archaic way with very little money, and that needs to change.
Well, but you have some high-tech electronic engineer friends there, don't you, that you could probably give you the gear you need to take microwave readings?
Well, that's yes and no. Sorry about that. The problem with it, it's not just testing for microwaves, because if you could just go out there and test for the military electronics and electromagnetic radiation, you could tell where it's coming from, and that's what the Chinese and Russians would love to be able to do. I've got that big document done by the U.S. Defense Department on microwave warfare, and they explicitly talk in there about how they alter microwave transmissions 24/7. and they sent him out on these vertical pulse rates, but they constantly change frequencies and they constantly move to where the microwaves are coming from, so they cannot be readily detected. Put it this way, the U.S. military pretty much admitted it. It was in the Wall Street Journal, an article which just went over everyone's head. The missile that North Korea launched got off the launching pad. That missile was taken out by a microwave beam off the American warship. That's what they're doing. This is microwave warfare. So in the article from it's either New York Times or Wall Street Journal, but I have it. It says right in there that the U.S. government has been sabotaging the electronics of North Korean missiles for quite some time. Okay. I have the document from the U.S. government explaining exactly how they do it. And they take control of the computer in the warhead of the missile with a microwave beam, and they can do things like cause the missile to go into self-destruct mode and blow up. This is technology that's being used. Now, if the North Koreans and the Chinese and the Russians could detect an incoming microwave beam, they could neutralize it. So we can't go out into the environment and just say, okay, the military used X amount of microwaves today. They're not going to allow the technology, you know, for that to happen. What we can do, Jeff, we can go out in the environment and put down electronic monitoring equipment that shows the effects of these transmissions on the marine life or the environment.
Yes.
So we can pick up stray electrical energy in the reef that's not supposed to be there. Simonson, he engineered all the equipment to do that. The problem is I can't just go jumping in the water and start using that equipment because it's too technical for me. So we would need to have electrical engineers or chemical engineers come on site and go out with us to lay down equipment to monitor it for while to teach us how to use it.
Yes.
So again, this kind of stuff we were applying for in these research grants that got canceled, postponed at least, at this point in time. So we're going to have to start rewriting grants and giving them out to the public sector to get the funding to do this.
Yes.
It's all easy to do, Jeff. All of this environment, Jeff, right now, okay, our conversation. If we had a team to work with of electrical engineers and $250,000, I would be on the airplane in a day to be over and go diving on the Great Barrier Reef with a bunch of scientists that I know from there. We probably, within 60 days, could tell the world exactly to the T what's killing the reefs there off the Great Barrier Reef for $250,000.
Well, look, let me ask you this. I need to wrap up this show because we're right at the limit of the end of the show. Maybe we can continue with a part two. I'm going to sign off right now for On the Brink Radio. This is Jeff Weverson with Terry Lilly, Mr. Limpet there in Kauai. Please join us again next week. now go back